Our text tonight is found in verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When Jesus died that day on Calvary, he did not die alone. Two thieves or two malefactors died with him, one in his right hand and the other in his left, and Jesus in the middle. And while they were on the cross, the crowds around the cross began to mock and deride the Lord Jesus. They say there, verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And then it says also, the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, and Mark tells us in his gospel that both of these things are the same in the Jesus teaching. They both mocked him and derided him. But here, one of them has a change of heart. And he turns and he says to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And people have heard of this and read this and have thought to themselves, well, that's what I do. I live my life for pleasure and for the world. And then at the last, on a deathbed, when I know my time is running low, I will call on the Lord and be saved. If you're thinking that tonight, friend, even now, I hope by the end of this meeting, you will have a change of heart and a change of mood and come and put your faith in Christ. And you realize as an awful Father to put salvation on, hoping for some time in the future that suits you, a deathbed or some other time. And so tonight, for a few moments, we want to look at the dying faith. First of all, we have his condition. He was in an awful condition. First of all, he was helpless. He could do nothing to save himself in any way. He was nailed at a cross. He couldn't get down from it. He couldn't go to the synagogue. He couldn't do anything. He was absolutely helpless, nailed to the cross. And then, of course, he was condemned. He had a trial of some sort, and he was found guilty of his crimes, and he was condemned to die that awful death. And then he was dying. Every breath he took him nearer death, nearer eternity, and nearer hell. And if it's like you tonight, then if you're not saved, you're helpless. You can do nothing to save yourself or to merit your salvation. The Bible says it's by grace, and you see it through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. People think by doing good works and going to church and not doing anybody any harm and things like that, that will surely count. But it won't, friend. You're saved by grace through faith and not only. And then you're condemned. People say, you cannot tell in this life while you're saved. You have to wait for the great day of the judgment when you stand before God and the books are open, and you'll find out at the end of your good works and outweigh your bad works. When you stand before God like that, all you'll hear is, "Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you." The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth not is condemned already." You're already condemned by God and by God's law if you're not saved. And you stand before God in your sin. Your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. You'll be cast in to the lake of fire. And then you're just not dying, friend. You're already dead. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and in sin. And that's your condition today. You're a helpless sinner. You're a condemned sinner. And you're dead in trespasses and sin. What an awful sweat to be. Heading for eternity. Heading for meeting God. Going for purpose. But then we have his confession. This man made a wonderful confession. If you're here tonight and you're hoping, you know, some deathbed conversion, and you'd be able to slip that to heaven without witnessing for the Lord, without bearing the reproach, without doing anything for Jesus, this man here condemned you. So he made a wonderful confession before he died. First of all, he confessed he feared God. He said there in verse 40, "Doth not God fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" This man feared God. There's many people today, and they will tell you they believe in God, but they do not fear God. They do not fear living without him, dying without him, and going into the eternity without him. Brother, tonight, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you would do well to fear the Lord. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And you would do well to fear living without him and dying without him and going into the eternity without him. And then he confessed his sinfulness, verses 40 and 41. But the other launchman rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deed." This man had done nothing in it, and he confessed his sinfulness. He took the sinner's place. He wasn't pointing his finger at anyone else. He didn't say to his companion, "You have done worse things than me." He took the sinner's place. And if you're going to receive them, you have to take the sinner's place. You have to acknowledge before God that you are a sinner. There's a parable in the Bible that tells about the publican and the Pharisee went up into the temple to pray. And the old Pharisee prayed with himself. He said, "I thank you, Lord, and not as other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I have." But the old scribe publican, he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "He went down to his house justified." What a wonder when down his feet. He acknowledged his sin. He took the sinner's place. And his sins were forgiven. And that's all you have to do tonight. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he confessed Christ's sinlessness. He says, "But this man has done nothing amiss." the Lord Jesus made his way through Jerusalem with the crown of thorns in his head, carrying the cross with his back beaten. He never spoke a word. He went on through the gates of the side. He went up to the Father's brow. He never said a word. And when he kneeled under the cross, all he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this man realized that this was the sinless, spotless Son of God. He knew no sin. He didn't know sin. And he realized there was something different about him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, was the sinless, spotless Son of God. But on the cross, he bore our sin. He became sin for us, that we and I could go to heaven. The sinless, spotless Son of God. And then he confessed Christ as Lord. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he confessed Christ as Lord to his companion, who was knocking the Lord's door and saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." He had confessed that Christ was Lord. He confessed Christ as Lord in front of the soldier around the cross. These men who were crucified the Lord, he confessed Christ as Lord. And then he confessed Christ as Lord to the scribes and Pharisees, who were the hearers of Christ. We had him crucified. He said, "This is my Lord. This is my Lord." He confessed Christ as Lord to all the people who were mocking and deriding and saying everything about the Lord. And he confessed Christ as Lord and everyone else and stood him in place. All the disciples, this man stood and he said, "Lord, remember me when I come to you." Well, then, this man puts us all to shame. I believe if he could have done it, he could have died on the cross, he would have gone and done a good work for the Lord. And also he confessed and believed Christ had a kingdom. He said, "Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom." He didn't look like a king. The only crown he had was a crown of thorns. The only throne he had was a Roman cross. But he is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful confession this man made. And then we have this comfort in verse 33. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise." He had the comfort in knowing that Christ had heard him. But we are saying, "But of course he heard him. He was beside him. But if you call him the Lord for me, he will hear you." Romans 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the Lord will hear you tonight if you call upon him. And then that he would be in paradise. The Lord said today shall thou be with me in paradise. He's not going to hell. He's going to heaven, to the battle place. When he closes his eyes, he'll be in heaven. And also this wouldn't be in heaven, but he'll be with Christ. Jesus said that today with me in paradise. Well, whatever happened wouldn't be heaven if Jesus wasn't there. But thank God we're not just going home to heaven. We're going home to be with Christ. The Apostle Paul said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is our heaven. And then he had the confident knowing that he'd be with Christ. you would be away at home to be with Christ. Tonight, friends, you can wish for your deathbed conversion. You can hope it happens. But this man had the comfort in knowing it was well with his soul. And then thought tonight, I can say the same. I'm saved. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. I know it's well with my soul. And that's the most wonderful thing. The hymnwriter said, whenever my lap, I was taught me to know it is well. And then lastly, we have his companion. But this is what people forget. There were two things. One went to heaven, another went to hell. Two things in the same condition, near to the cross, in the same circumstance. One died, unrepentant, unsaved. Ran to the lost eternity. Another repented and ran to be with Christ. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, said these words: "One thief was saved, that no sinner might despair, but only one, that no sinner might despair." And you know, friend, you're presuming an awful lot in it. If you're presuming you'll have a deathbed conversion, for one thing, you're presuming you'll have a deathbed. You won't die. You won't be cut off from a hurricane or an accident or something. You're presuming that. And you're presuming on the deathbed you'll have your faculties. You won't be in a coma. You won't be in delusion or anything like that. And then, of course, also you're presuming that God will save you. He didn't save this man. He only saved the one thing. And that's what Jesse Red said. Well, the only one that no man might presume. There's a little verse, and it says this: "We must all die, but God forbid that we should die as those two did. Some were, some went, some time God knows. Our hearts shall feel, our eyes shall close. And we, though now the thought be small, shall be with one thing." Let me ask you tonight, what thing will you be with in eternity? Will you be with the one who said, "Lord, remember me," and went to heaven to be with the Lord? Or will you be with the other one who died once, on and went to the Lord's eternity? Oh, friend, I hope. I hope tonight your wives consider your other end. Consider where you've been in eternity. And put your faith and trust in Christ. As I said this morning, you never regret getting saved. It's the most wonderful experience. And it's great to know.